You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I am joined in studio by two of my employees who will be my co-hosts for this show. Welcome to Ray Pingoy, our Youth Outreach Coordinator, and Victor Vallejo, Program Manager and Latino Outreach Coordinator. I'm glad both of you could join me today.
Good morning, Margie.
Good morning, Margie.
Are you both awake?
Working on it.
The lightning and thunder last night. I just couldn't fall asleep. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that I'm not one of those homeowners that had the lightning strikes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, really just a sad situation out there. So we got to keep those folks and those families in our prayers. But I'm glad, again, that you could join me this morning, bright and early and eyes wide open. So Victor is one of our newest staff members in the Respect Life Office, and he is married and has a young daughter. He has an MDiv, or Master's in Divinity, which I know will be a great asset to our office and to the ministry. And for those of you who are new to the show, I was the program manager for over 8 years. And a main part of this position is assisting, encouraging, and educating parish Respect Life coordinators. And my hope is that, Victor, that you will be able to bring the message of the gospel of life to the growing and rather strong Hispanic community in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Through God, yes.
Oh, well, speak up. This is Victor's first time on the air with us here at Life Talk, or on Life Talk. So don't be afraid. And, you know, if you speak too softly, then Brian's going to have to raise your mic. So what are some of your first impressions with the office and the ministry that we're doing here?
God called us to do his ministry, and I believe there is a lot of people who wants to do his work in the daily life.
Okay, great. So, but so Victor's just starting out, and so give him a little room and a little time to get himself adjusted here in the Archdiocese. But he's already off to a great start. But before we get to our main guest, I'd like to recap some of the Respect Life Office's activities that took place over the past month. Now, Ray, can you give our listeners a recap of what you were up to with the Justice in Life Youth Leadership Summit?
Well, I can't believe it. It's been a week now. You know, that whole week went by fast, and the whole office, praise God, you know, came together and helped out with that great summit. It went well. I got to be honest with the audience. You know, we had about maybe, and I'm not exaggerating here, we had about four registrations, as in like four registration forms, with us 2 weeks before the
so
the
you
event.
Were sweating.
I was sweating bullets. I was
not just sweating there, because there was like the air conditioning didn't work in the room, and it was like walking into a gym.
Yeah,
it just smelled.
But seriously, we had, you know, all the teens showed up. Of course, you know, when working with the teens, you got to be prepared for anything, and they showed up. 45 of them or so came through on Monday morning, and like what Margie said, we have to also thank Saint Cletus. They opened up their parish for us to use for our venue, and the teens really felt that they were about to learn something great, because really the atmosphere was sort of in I'd like to say a very humbling venue, and you know, because of the air conditioning wasn't working, and thank God though that it wasn't too hot though. We opened up some windows, and the teens started, you know.
I was gonna say, speak for yourself.
But yeah, it turned out great, and the teens were passionate. They some of them, a couple of them, and I was reading some of the evaluation, a couple of them didn't really want to be there. They were dragged out of their beds by their parents,
really,
to go there. And you know, at the end of it, and this is evident on the evaluation form, at the end of it, they loved it. They didn't want to leave. And you know, Victor brought his brother-in-law, actually, and at the very first moment that I met him, he was dragging his feet. I was trying to say hello to him, and he was just like, hello, you know. He's just looking down on the ground and didn't want to be there. And then, unfortunately, Victor had to leave early because there were some car problems, and he had to drag his nephew out, and his nephew was like, really? Do we really have to go now? So it was really nice to see that change. It was really nice to see that...
The transformation.
Right, that zeal also in the teens' eyes, that they want to learn more about these things. And
so is that what sticks out in your mind about this?
Or,
you know, that you saw this great transformation?
This great transformation that the teens now, especially those teens there, now believe that they have something great that they can do. They can stand up for justice in life. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Now, does this youth summit give you hope for the future of our nation?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, these... and we discussed this on the summit day that, you know, this is they're not just the generation of the future, but they're the generation of the now.
Mm-hmm.
And they see that and they're excited to do something. It was just up to us to let them know that we are listening and that we support them, and also to let them know about the things that's happening around them, because again, unfortunately, they're bombarded with other things that that they may think that it's not really happening. These justice and life issues aren't really happening around them, but they know.
And I thought it was really, you know, smart of you guys to, you and Tom Howard from the Office for Peace and Justice, to go with the Cardinal's latest book, God in Action, as sort of a theme. You know, I mean, it's not like you were really promoting it as a theme, but it really turned out to be that.
Well, it's very relevant in today's world, and the Cardinal really spoke up about it, and you know, these teens, they need to also know and learn that the Cardinal supports them, and we're all on the same page, you know, and we're all on the same direction here with what the Cardinal is saying. So
wonderful. And this is sort of was like a launch for our year-long program.
That's right.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about it?
This was this is the first event that for the teens and young adults. This is one of the first events that the Archdiocese of Chicago has sponsored, and the Gospel of Life Youth Leadership Training Program starts here. We pretty much identified about 5 to 7 teens that are a best fit to be part of this program, and we're still, you know, our eyes are open, and if you have anyone that you think that would be interested in joining this Gospel of Life Youth Leadership Training Program, and this is a year-long training program that we as a Respect Life Office through the Chastity Education Initiative are supporting and informing these teens. Again, we identified about 5 to 7 of them from the Justice and Life Youth Leadership Summit, and we want to identify
more.
Yeah,
I'd love to have like 30.
Yes,
least, you know.
And this is pretty much like a, I guess I could say it, like the A team, you know, of teens that future leaders of the Archdiocese of Chicago and beyond to stand up and
it's pretty exciting. And most of the offerings will be free of charge.
Right.
So you know, we're still working out the details, but that we'd like these young people to also be part of the March for Life pilgrimage to Washington D.C.
That's an exciting thing for them to join in. And again, they'll be part of that for free if they're part of the program.
If they're part of the program, we're working out all those details on, you know, who qualifies for that scholarship for the March for Life, or maybe partial scholarships depending on need. So that, you know, is on a case-by-case basis. So for more information, just call our office at 312-534-5355 and be happy to talk to you, and Ray would be happy to talk to you about the possibility of one of your teens being part of this program. So we're going to need to head to our first break, and when we return, we're going to be joined by our guest for the show. So stay tuned for more Life Talk.
Hello, I'm Lisa Pilato, the director of the Catholic Charities Junior Board, and this is the Junior Board Mission Minute, 60 seconds of the latest and greatest updates on events and opportunities for you to get involved. Summer's not over yet, and the Junior Board's calendar is jam-packed as usual. We will play bingo and share stories with the senior citizens living at Ozanam Village on August 7th, package food for our emergency assistance programs on August 16th, and serve supper to the veterans at Cook's Manor on August 21st. At the end of the month, we hope you will cruise with us for a good cause at the 9th annual boat cruise on the Innisfree. Music, food, and open bar on August 26th from 7 to 10 p.m. for $65 a ticket. These events are open to all Junior Board members and friends. There's always a way to help your neighbor at Catholic Charities. Consider joining our Junior Board. For more information on these events and others, call 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net. And of course, stay tuned for the next Junior Board Mission Minute.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I am joined in studio by my co-hosts, Ray Pingoy and Victor Vallejo. We are joined on the phone by our special guest, Richard Dorflinger, Associate Director of the Secretariat of Pro-Life Activities of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Welcome to Life Talk, Richard.
Thank you, Margie. Glad to be here.
Oh, great. And I'm so glad I was able to catch you. It sounds like everybody's getting ready to go out to Atlanta for the big pro-life conference for the pro-life directors.
Yes, that's our annual meeting for our diocesan counterparts around the country.
Yeah.
We'll have a lot of things to tell them about.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to it. So our main topic for today's show is one that seems to strike at the core of religious liberty in the United States. And, you know, we hear that the Department of Health and Human Services wants to mandate that private health plans provide so-called free birth control to women as a preventive service. And in the USCCB's August 1st press release, it stated that the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops sharply criticized a new HHS preventive services mandate requiring private health plans to cover female surgical sterilization and all drugs and devices approved by the FDA as contraceptives, including drugs which can attack a developing unborn child before and after implantation in the mother's womb. And then it goes on to say that there are some religious exemptions, but they're so narrow that it looks like, you know, most people will not be exempted from this new mandate. It's going to be pretty difficult. But the Catholic Church is truly in the midst of a difficult battle to ensure conscience rights in healthcare with this looming birth control mandate, again, coming through the HHS department. Richard, can you explain what this mandate entails and how did we get to this point?
Well, it all started with the Health Care Reform Act, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. There was a provision put into that act pretty late in the process by Senator Mikulski saying that giving the Department of Health and Human Services the authority to mandate coverage without copay or deductibles in all health plans for preventive services, including preventive services for women. And, of course, for the most part, these services are perfectly legitimate things for preventing real diseases and health-threatening conditions. You know, teaching people to stop smoking, for example, vaccinations,
mm-hmm.
and so on, screening for sexually transmitted diseases. But something that has come out now in the final, what's called a final interim rule, which is kind of a contradiction in terms, but it's it's going into effect, but it could be changed down the road if people are upset enough about it. And that is a rule that says preventive services will include efforts to prevent pregnancy. And so they're sort of treating pregnancy as itself a pathological condition here. There isn't any mandate for example, women who have a problem with infertility and want to address it. It's only against pregnancy. And that includes some drugs that have been approved by the FDA for contraception that actually, there's a new drug called Ella that's actually very similar to the RU486 abortion drug. It can cause an abortion even after the embryo implants in the womb, so it'd be an abortion by anybody's definition. There is a religious exemption so narrowly crafted that people can't believe it when I describe all the criteria. In order to be an employer and offer to your employees coverage that is in accord with your religious beliefs, you have to have the inculcation of religious doctrine as your primary purpose. You must be hiring only members of your own faith, and you must serve only members of your own faith. So for a Catholic hospital or school, for example, to qualify for the religious exemption, they would have to fire their non-Catholic employees and kick out the patients and the students who are not Catholic.
That's almost impossible. I mean, they would call us discriminatory if we did that.
Well, it's a very interesting catch-22 because the Obama administration has even expressed some misgivings about the usual rule that a religious organization can take part in public programs and hire only people of its own faith. They're not that wild about that. I think that's kind of discriminatory. So they've said, you know, you should be hiring non-Catholics, and then they turn around and say, but if you do hire non-Catholics, you're not religious enough for this exemption.
Wow. I mean, it just, they want us to get out of business, you know? They want us to just conform. It sounds like, I mean, this sounds like a theme that's going on here, not just on the national or federal level, but in Illinois, we're experiencing this with our Catholic Charities, foster care and adoption services. Not in Chicago, because we don't do the foster care anymore, but in other dioceses in Illinois, they're being discriminated against and being told you have to place with civil unions couples. And so there's a big lawsuit right now, and they just want us out of business. They don't want us to do adoptions anymore.
Well, this is the bizarre notion of religious freedom that's coming out of some of these agencies now, is the idea that you're only allowed to have religious freedom if you act like a very self-enclosed sect, someone who doesn't deal with other people or serve other people I've said, you know, it looks like what they're saying is you can refuse to provide to women things that you think are harmful to them as long as you stop saving the lives of Jews and Protestants. This is outrageous. It's ridiculous. It's a notion of religion that means religion is required by law to be recognized only as praying by yourself and with your co-religionists in the sanctuary, then you may not live your religion in the outside world.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, in the Cardinal's latest book, God in Action, he talks a lot about that, and, you know, religious freedom versus, or freedom to worship versus religious freedom. You know, we have our freedom to worship in our four walls of our church, right? But then once we leave, you know, we have to conform. You know, we don't have religious liberty, it seems like. It's being chipped away at.
So, and this is a very big threat to the whole concept of religious freedom. And there is a 60-day comment period on this rule and on this exemption, the way it's crafted. And we will, of course, be taking part in that, encouraging others to do the same.
Do you think we're really going to have a say in that comment period? Will they actually listen to us?
Well, I would say probably not. I mean, among other things, they said the only thing they're really soliciting comments on is the definition of a religious employer. But this goes beyond employers. This goes to Catholic and other religious colleges having to provide this in their student health plans. Well, that's not an employer relationship. It relates to religiously affiliated health plans, like your OSF health system in Illinois, Franciscan Health System, which has been allowed to sell coverage, health coverage, to even to federal employees without putting birth control into it, because they have a religious exemption. But that's not an employer exemption. That's the actual provider of the health plan, and it needs religious protection as well. And none of those categories are even contemplated in the rule. So, no, I don't think that's going to be adequate. And because it's not going to be adequate, we have a piece of legislation we're also supporting in Congress called the Respect for Rights of Conscience Act, mm-hmm. which would relate to the religious freedom of all of these players and not being forced to purchase or issue or provide coverage that's against their religious conviction.
Well, that sounds great. We're going to head to a quick break, and when we return, we'll talk more about that legislation and what you can do to make a difference in this situation. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Blessed Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body is changing lives around the world. It brings clarity to many of the tough questions regarding our sexuality and God's plan for love and life. Please join the Respect Life Office and the Office for Catholic Schools for the Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum training. This two-day training is perfect for teachers, youth ministers, catechists, and anyone who wants to bring Theology of the Body to teenagers. The Theology of the Body for Teens High School Edition training will take place on Friday evening, August 12th. The training for the new middle school edition will take place Saturday, August 13th, and will include lunch and materials. Both trainings will take place at Queen of the Rosary Parish in Elk Grove Village. For more information or to register, please contact the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or check out their website at respectlifechicago.org.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen. We're joined on the phone with our special guest, Richard Dorflinger, Associate Director of Pro-Life Office there at the USCCB. And Richard, you were talking about this legislation in the House and in the Senate now, right? There's a new piece of legislation in the Senate, or same,
yes.
Similar. So what's the possibility of that passing?
Well, we don't know yet because it's just begun to really get attention. But
okay.
It's something that would relate directly to any new mandates coming out of the Health Care Reform Act itself, and saying that any mandates for services in health care should respect moral and religious objections and not be used to override people's the freedom that people have had to negotiate a health plan that is in accord with their values. So it's very modest legislation in the sense it just says, you know, let's leave the protection of religious freedom as it was before the passage of that act. Let us not put new impositions on people's conscience and their religious freedom. It doesn't reverse any other law or create any new rights or authority for people, but it just says, you know, we don't think the Health Care Reform Act was intended to suppress rights of conscience, so we just want to state that up front and require it. Now, the legislation is in the House. It's Mr. Fortenberry's legislation. Bill number is H.R. 1179. In the Senate, it was just introduced yesterday. I believe the number is S. 1476. That's the Senator Blunt from Missouri. And as I say, in both places, it's called the Respect for Rights of Conscience Act. We're looking for more support for that, more co-sponsors in both House and Senate. And if nothing else, if this act is gaining support, that'll put more pressure on the administration to take this issue of religious freedom seriously.
Well, that sounds good, because I know our listeners, they want, you know, they hear this and they want to do something about it. So how can they find out more information about what they can do? Can they go to the USCCB's website or NCHLA, or what would you recommend?
Both of those places, both NCHLA.org and USCCB.org, will have more information soon on how people can write to their congressmen and how they can write to HHS about this. The rule itself, though it's been circulating in manuscript form, is not yet, last time we looked, was not yet published in the Federal Register, where it'll really be official, where you have to write to submit comments to the administration. So as soon as we have that, we'll be making it available on those websites.
Yeah, and as soon as we hear about it, we will send it out and to our email list. And if any of our listeners here want to get on that email list, just call our office at 312-534-5355, and we'll get you on that email list. And, you know, we're usually pretty good about activating our troops, you know, or the base, you know, here in the Catholic Church, you know, our folks out there in the parishes, and then they spread the word. So definitely get the word out to us, and we'll get it out to everybody else. But, you know, I want to get back to this whole thing of preventive services. I mean, it just really sounds, it's like opposite to what you would think preventive services would be. I mean, I would think it would be something about health and wellness and helping people avoid disease, you know, helping people to eat better. So, you know, maybe they on their way to being, you know, diabetic, or, you know, they have heart disease in the family, so that they don't have heart problems down the road. I mean, that kind of stuff will be helpful in keeping insurance costs low, and, you know, and people won't end up in the hospital. But you think of preventive services, I mean, that's what comes to mind, not birth control or abortifacients, you know?
Well, yeah, this is an ideology that's been developing in some segments of the medical community. The recommendation for including these drugs came from the Institute of Medicine, a particular committee of this national advisory body. And we discovered that half a dozen of the members of the drafting committee had been board members of Planned Parenthood affiliates and other pro-abortion groups. And it's really a mentality, it's a whole view of life and sexuality and procreation, that pregnancy is basically a pathology. It's a dangerous medical condition. And of course, there can be serious medical problems in pregnancy. That's the exception rather than the rule. The idea that pregnancy is the way each new generation of Americans sort of comes into the world, and that it's a natural thing, is alien to them. And they think that it's this dangerous thing you have to work to prevent by whatever technical means possible. I wrote a column recently. I pointed out there was a health news site that had three different headlines in a row. The first one was, new study, hormonal contraception increases women's risk of getting AIDS.
Yeah.
Second headline was, new birth control drugs have higher risk of stroke than older drugs. And the third was, Department of Health and Human Services mandates birth control in all health plans. Well, what's wrong with this picture? They're ignoring the fact that these drugs, and the new things keep coming out indicating these drugs have serious health risks of their own, can be very serious health risks. This reality of increased rate of getting AIDS, which is a potentially deadly disease, of course, among women who use hormonal contraception is something that's been known in the AIDS community for some time, but most American women don't know about it. It has not been something that the Planned Parenthood folks want to talk about, or that the federal government wants to talk about.
Yeah, it's so ironic that you found these three headlines that all came out on the same day. this is breaking news, and the irony of here we have the medical community saying we should be pushing this, and then you have two studies saying that there are health repercussions, or possible ones. What are we doing here? Are we really looking out for women?
Yeah, and there are dangers to women. Obviously, women are, some women are willing to take those risks in order to prevent having a child, and that is something that is, it's a choice they make to undergo those risks. But this is not the kind of thing. This is not basic health care. This is not the sort of thing you would mandate on people who have a moral problem with it. This is, one particular way, and to the Catholic Church, it's a way that's morally not right, and it's also one of the most dangerous ways to try to avoid getting pregnant.
Yes.
These are prescription drugs, not because they cure a disease. They're prescription drugs because it's dangerous to use them without a doctor's advice.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to need to head to a quick break, and when we return, we're going to talk more about this important issue with Richard Dorflinger. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Join Team Catholic Charities for the 2011 AIDS Run Walk in Grant Park on Saturday, October 1st as an active participant or sponsoring member. 100% of the funds raised by the team are returned to Catholic Charities HIV/AIDS case management programs, food pantry, and ministry in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call the Catholic Charities Office of Volunteer Relations at 312-655-7322. Together, we can make a difference.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Richard, we were talking about, this whole mandate, birth control mandate, but it's the mentality of, our culture, especially for young families in the city. I'm hearing more and more, at least in Chicago, that young families are not welcome in certain places. And, there are people, family members of mine, who will go out of their way to not be at a restaurant during peak hours, with their child, just to go when there's less people, and really they're thinking about, the other patrons, but they still get dirty looks, And this is with just one kid, Imagine if you had three or four. But it's really the mentality. It's like banning, I forgot what they called it, but it's something about the banning brats movement or something like that. This is just saying, that pathology, right? Pregnancy is a disease, that children are not welcome. But how do they expect us to, they're going to get old. They're going to need to receive Social Security, right? Or, different support services from the government. They're going to need people to take care of them when they're in the hospital or whatever. We need to to reproduce. We need to be fruitful. I mean, even if you're not looking at it in a purely moral sense, you're looking at it in a utilitarian sense. Why would we want to do this? You know, why would we want to, you know, just make it harder for people? I mean, pregnancy is an important part. We're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. You know, it just drives me crazy. Sorry, I just needed to rant.
Yeah, no, it's true that, you know, there was a mandate for expanded coverage of birth control under the in Medicaid under the original Economic Stimulus Act, and somebody asked Nancy Pelosi, who was Speaker of the House at the time, you know, why is this in an economic stimulus package? And she said, because it saves the government money. And that became so controversial that it got taken out of the bill.
Yeah.
But it's back, and it got into the Health Care Reform Act. But the mentality is, the reality, you know, the thinking is that children cost money. They're a drain. They're a burden on the economy and on families and on the government. And of course, that works for a while until 20 years later, when Medicare and Social Security die faster. Because you have no young people supporting us old codgers as we leave the workforce. It's it is a kind of anti-child mentality, but it's also a you know, it's based on a kind of assumption that the sexual revolution and the transformation of sex into something that's not for commitment and not for building stable families that raise children, mm-hmm. that's all here to stay. And I think that's what the government thinks, but I'm not so sure that's what people out there in the world think. I think that there have been a lot of victims, a lot of casualties of the sexual revolution and the idea of consequences-free sex, and a lot of rethinking of that.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe even the government should be looking at and considering, and a lot of data about women being more unhappy than ever. They're not as fulfilled as they used to be. Social services, social studies experts are saying, you know, women are pretty unhappy with this situation, that there's a kind of pressure now,
yeah,
even in casual dating, that you're supposed to be willing to have sex with,
mm-hmm.
you know, relative strangers,
and be like
the price of having any, yeah, kind of relationship,
and be like a man too, right? To be, we want to be so equal that we should be like the extreme picture of what a man should be, you know, using lots of women, right? Being promiscuous, right?
He's a stud, wonderful.
Yeah.
And then if the woman gets pregnant, he thinks that the height of male responsibility is willingness to pay for an abortion. And that's, you know, that's sort of the ultimate logical trend of this government mandate as well. I mean, there isn't any other preventive service in the entire list for men or women where you would be trying to prevent something, but then you won't be mandating the treatment if it does happen anyway. You're saying, well, we're just trying to prevent pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
but if you treat pregnancy as a disease condition that's to be prevented, the step two is going to be, but if you fail to prevent it, then we need the cure.
Yeah.
And the cure is abortion.
And then birth control, I mean, there's all these studies, and I think you guys put that out. I received something from Greg Schleppenbach from Nebraska, mm-hmm. the Nebraska Catholic Conference, and he had compiled all these studies with your office about how increased access to birth control doesn't necessarily bring down the abortion rates.
It doesn't even necessarily bring down the unintended pregnancy rate.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible thing, and people don't believe me when I tell them this, but there was one study done by Princeton University experts who were very much in favor of this whole idea of the morning after pill, emergency contraception, being able to take a pill after sex to prevent pregnancy. And they thought this was going to be the ultimate solution. Nobody was going to get pregnant unintentionally, as long as you saturated the society with these morning after pills. They did a study of 23 different studies where, in various countries, usually the government, but, you know, somebody in power, maximized access to these morning after pills. And in not one of the 23 different cases was there a reduction in unintended pregnancies or in abortions. It doesn't work, not even by a very pragmatic, amoral point of view. And what happens, of course, is when you do tell people, okay, now sex is consequence-free, they tend to engage in more risky behavior, and that raises their risk further to compensate for what you thought you were doing to prevent the consequences. And, of course, sexually transmitted diseases go up because people are doing more risky behavior.
Wow.
These technocratic solutions are not only morally problematic, but they often fail to deliver, even in our own pragmatic terms. That the so-called experts are not really necessarily noticing this.
Wow. Well, we're going to need to head to another quick break, and when we return, we'll continue this very lively discussion on the birth control mandate. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
Catholic Charity's Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll take you to the dedication of the Healing Garden at Holy Family Parish in Chicago. We'll attend a Catholic Charities photo exhibit with a unique twist. And we'll celebrate the 25th anniversary of Filipino ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, Director of the Respect Life Office, and I'm joined on the phone by Richard Dorflinger, Associate Director of the Pro-Life Secretariat for the USCCB. And Richard, I was just talking with one of my staff members during the break, and Ray, he works in our youth outreach. He's our youth outreach coordinator under the Chastity Education Initiative. So he deals with a lot of youth, and he talks to them about contraception, you know, theology of the body, marriage, vocation, you know, waiting until marriage, the whole thing. And this, you know, he has a question for you.
Good morning, Richard. Me and Victor here have just been really listening, and we can't believe it. This is really happening. Not a lot of people know that this is going on. I read your article about the high cost of quote-unquote free birth control, and this is it really free? I guess one question is, you know, I'm sure it's costing something. I mean, I don't believe that there's really something for free. Also, it is a high cost for, especially for our teens, for our young adults. If we're gonna really, you know, feed this culture already that's damaged, free quote unquote again free birth control. I mean, that's gonna damage it even more. I mean, with our culture of me, myself, and I, you know, the very selfish type of a culture. So there is a high cost to it, but again, yeah, my question is it really free? I mean, who's...
No, it's. I mean, that was in a lot of the news headlines too, and it's a completely misleading statement because
right.
What happens is birth control is going to be in almost everyone's health plan. It will not have a copay or a deductible, so you won't be paying out of pocket. But of course, the additional cost of the birth control drugs and the sterilization. I mean, sterilization is something that costs $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000. The amount of that, the cost of that, will be buried in your overall premium. Your premiums will go up. It won't be free. It just won't be separate. So you won't notice it except for the fact that healthcare keeps getting more expensive. The other way in which it reduces the cost is that now women who do want sterilization and contraception will pay less for it than they would have because the cost is being spread around among people who didn't want to pay for it but are being forced to.
So we're working
for it. In that sense,
it
makes it less expensive for them and more expensive for everyone else. So it's of course it's not free. Everything costs money in this life. Congress is even finding that out. And it's just they're going to spread the cost around to people who have a moral objection or just didn't want the coverage.
So we're paying for this then.
We will be paying for it,
wow.
Yes, unless
yeah.
we, you know, unless
fight
we reverse this policy.
Well,
and you know, and Catholic organizations will be paying for it because the religious exemption that's there covers almost no one.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I mean, my husband works for, you know, it's not a Catholic organization, so to speak, but it is because they're all Catholic and they believe in Catholic teaching, and you know, I mean, this would affect them. You know, in the Thomas More Society Pro-Life Law Center, you know, in terms of, you know, if they are going to provide, you know, health insurance to employees, that this would be in the plan, right?
Yeah, so... And basically, you wouldn't be able to find an insurance company anywhere in the country that even felt it was legal for them to sell you anything different.
Oh my gosh. So, man, we really have to pray for you guys and the work that you're doing on the front lines there in Washington, D.C. So please know that you have people out here praying for you and for all the good work that you guys are doing, and we're grateful. So keep us posted, and can you give us the websites again and any kind of websites people should be checking on a regular basis?
Yes, we'll try to put updated information on this on our website at the U.S. Catholic U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, so that's usccb.org. There are already some press releases and statements and reactions to this policy. If you look under the latest news button, you'll be seeing statements by Cardinal DiNardo about this and some details. But we'll be putting up more information as we get it. And there's also our allied organization, the National Committee for Human Life Amendment, nchla.org, that does a lot of the alerts and grassroots outreach working with the bishops on this. And so that'll have new information as well.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Richard. I know you have a busy schedule, and we got to, you know, release you so you can keep fighting this, the good
back to
fight.
Work.
yeah. So thanks so much. And we're going to go to, and God bless you for your efforts. So we're going to head to a quick break right now. And when we return, we're going to talk a little bit more about the moral implications and what we're doing with the youth, at least to educate them on chastity education in the Archdiocese. So stay tuned to more Life Talk.
Who do you know in their 20s or 30s? Adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing gifts in many ways.
However connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single.
It's an opportunity for them to meet good people their own age.
To deepen their faith and spirituality.
To make connections between faith and everyday life.
And explore the things that matter most.
It's a chance for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they in turn can pass it to others.
We encourage you to personally invite young adults to Theology on Tap. It begins July 10th at locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
Game with the Catholic Charities Junior Board for a good cause. Saturday, November 12th is the Junior Board's signature fundraiser, and we hope you'll join us. The 5th annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food from Cafe Bianda, 3 open bars, blackjack, craps, roulette, an incredible lineup of silent auction and raffle items, including 2 trips to the Bahamas, and much more. Tickets are only $80 and are on sale now at catholiccharities.net/JRBoard. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21. More than half of your ticket price will go directly to the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, shelter, and other crucial emergency services to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake Counties. Game with us for a good cause. For details, call Lisa at 312-655-7932 or visit catholiccharities.net/JRBoard.
Welcome back to Life Talk. This is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen, joined by my two staff members, Ray Pingoy and Victor Vallejo. And Ray, Victor, that was a lot of information in a quick, short amount of time. Mm-hmm. Important that we heard that. I know that, Richard and other folks from his office have been on a lot of Catholic media over the last couple weeks talking about this, about, we just got to keep spreading this information, right. The truth, right. Because, the truth will set us free, right?
We got to tell, and I want to encourage it's really encouraged our listeners to talk to their friends about this, talk to their family members about this, because it's not getting out there, and, they heard the information, they can look up more information and be experts on this and talk about it. We need to open this up.
Yeah. And Ray, you're involved with our Chastity Education Initiative, and just the word chastity even is mm-hmm. not so well received. I think people, it's our society has twisted the meaning of it,
right?
And it they made it into an ugly word, an uncool word,
and we have to change that. And again, like what you said, unfortunately, that's what's happening. Chastity is looked upon as that. We have to change that, and we have to continue on saying that this is the way of life. This is the only way of life to get the teens out of. They don't need this unnecessary drama so early in their lives, mm-hmm. And even the young adults, they deserve so much more. They deserve the best, and praise God for Blessed John Paul II's message of theology of the body. We need to also learn more about that and the sanctity of life and how much we are worth and how much God loves us and sees us in this precious and beautiful way. And we need to learn this. And I actually want to, can I invite people to the theology of the body training thing?
Sure, yeah. Please let them know, because this is a great opportunity. We hear all this negative,
right,
and the fight that we're in our society, in our culture, but we have some real tools for parents and catechists,
teachers, DREs, catechists, deacons, youth ministers, campus ministers, anyone really who works with teens. I encourage also everyone to pray for them. Pray for our teachers and our priests and our DREs and our catechists. We would like to invite everyone that will be and wants to work with teens to attend this Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum training. Ascension Press, they have these two editions, the high school edition and the middle school edition. The middle school edition is a very new one. Just started it early this year, but I want to invite everyone. August 12th, that's a Friday. August 12th is a high school edition one, and that starts at 5:30 to 9 p.m. The middle school edition, that's the new one, Saturday, August 13th, 9 a.m., and that's in Queen of the Rosary Parish in Elk Grove Village. It is not too late to register, so go ahead and call our office or email me at rpingoy@archchicago.org. And call our office at 312-534-5355. Again, it's not too late to register.
And there's information on the website,
right,
at respectlifechicago.org. respectlifechicago.org. And Respect Life Chicago is all one word, and there's a lot of great information on there. You can get different links to, you know, to find out information mm-hmm. about church documents, things like that, to do your research. Also, you can donate too, right, to the Chastity Ed Initiative.
Please, yeah, please donate.
We need your support. If you have the means, or if you can only spare a few dollars, you can now donate online. So that is one of the first things on our website.
We made it easier for everyone to donate, so please go ahead and donate. We need your help.
We rely on almost 99%. It's mostly donor supported.
Right.
And that's something, I mean, the Cardinal is a big supporter of it. But, you know, as you know, money is difficult to come by, you know, you know, he's really supportive. He comes to our fundraising event every year. He's very supportive of this issue and of the work that we're doing with the teens. But again, you know, again, the church, you know, there's so many areas and ministries to fund,
mm-hmm.
You know, and these are tough times. Many parishes are behind on their fundraising. So, you know, we do need your help.
We have to push the teens to know that they have something to stand up for, and they can stand up for this.
People should not get really, I mean, we look at the culture, we look at, you know, the TV shows and how young people are living and how they see other people living, and I think they're, you know, not, people should not lose hope, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. because we're seeing a lot of young people who really are embracing chastity, and when they hear about it and they hear one of our presentations, you know, or it's being taught in their class, you know, the theology of the body for teens, you know, you're seeing conversions, mm-hmm. you're seeing people that want to change their lifestyle, you know, totally, like a 360, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, they're totally turning around completely to choose the life that is really free and really going to bring them happiness. It's not this birth control mandate, you know, because
right.
That's not preventive. What's really preventive is following Christ. You know, living that life is going to really make you free. And, you know, life is short. You know, we lost one of our key youth leaders at St. Ignatius, you know, College Prep, died tragically, you know, a couple weeks ago, and he drowned on a mission trip, right? And his name is Finoy Lukos. Wonderful guy, wonderful young man. He was already a leader, but God called him home, and life is short. And so whether you live to 16 or you live or however at 17 or till you're 100, you know, we got to think about our choices, and these choices we make can prevent us from living in eternity with God. I mean, do you really want to do that to yourself?
Yeah.
No. We're doing this, we're offering this, and so don't lose hope and act, take action, call your state representatives and call your senators, you know, in Illinois, Dick Durbin and Mark Kirk, you know, call them both. If you need help finding phone numbers, call our office. We will help you out. And that, again, that number is 312-534-5355. Pregnancy also is not a disease.
Yeah. And you know, they can also stand up for this as well. The 40 Days for Life is coming right up.
Yeah, 40 Days for Life, prayer and fasting campaign to end abortion. It's being done from September 28th through November 6th. And we're trying to get parishes or groups of parishes to take on a full 24-hour period of peaceful, prayerful witness outside the Albany Abortion Clinic, which is on Elston Avenue, right near Cicero, Avenue.
Yeah, get your parish in there and sign up as well.
We still have a number of dates available, and you'll be praying along with over 240 locations across the United States and around the world. I mean, you've got people in Canada doing this, mm-hmm. and other parts in Europe, and you know, I think Australia, you know,
all over the world.
They're praying for life. So, and we're really making an impact, and a lot of abortion clinics have closed down because of these prayers and all the fasting. So if you think you're interested in this and you want to find out about more, you know, more about it, again, call our office. You know, I can't say that enough. We have a lot of resources, a lot of ways that you can get involved. And 312-534-5355 is that number. So, well, we are out of time for the August edition of Life Talk. So tune in on the first Wednesday of every month from 9 to 10 a.m. for a lively discussion of the issues that make a difference in your life. So for Ray Pingoy and Victor Vallejo, this is your host, Margie Mansko-Breen. Have a safe and happy month. And I know summer is wrapping up, so enjoy it. God bless you all.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.